Father, I just thank you for this opportunity that we have together this morning, Lord, to learn, to grow, Lord, to rise up in a new place in you, and Lord, to be challenged to do all that you have for us in this life. I pray, Father, that you help me to say what I'm supposed to, and Father, that each person would hear the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, just for fun, let me start with this. I heard a story about a guy who finally tied the knot with his long-term girlfriend. And one evening after the honeymoon was over, he was out in the garage working on his hot rod, getting it ready for an upcoming car show. And his new bride came out in the garage, and she stood there and watched him for a while. And after a long time, she finally said to him, she said, "You know, honey, now that we're married, I think you really need to stop spending so much time out in the garage. In fact, I think it would be best if you sold your hot rod and your gun collection." And he just looked at her with this horrified look on her face, on his face, and she said, "Well, what's wrong, honey?" And he said, "Well, for a minute there, you were starting to sound like my ex-wife." And she said, "Ex-wife, you never told me that you were married before." He said, "I wasn't." Now, Carmen and I have been married for over 34 years, and we have learned to, well, just to kind of understand one another. We were cooking fajitas the other night, and she looks at me with this big smile on her face, and she says, "I love it when we cook together." I said, "I love it when I sit on the couch and you cook." Yeah, we understand each other. Anybody believe in love at first sight, or did you ever have to have a second look? Well, evidently for Carmen, it was not love at first sight, because after we met, I called her and I asked her out for a date, and she couldn't remember what I looked like. It says something about my looks, doesn't it? But she went anyway, which maybe says something about what she was looking for. I don't know what, but anyway, whether you believe in love at first sight or not, let me just tell you this, that a look can be very powerful. I'm not talking about that look that your wife gives you when you did something wrong. I'm talking about when you focus your attention, that look, when you focus your attention on something, a look can change the course of your life. Did you know this world will say that a look doesn't matter? It's no big deal. And they always say there's nothing wrong with looking. Well, I got to tell you that all of our trouble started in this world because of a look, with just a look. And most of you know the story of how Adam and Eve fell, that the serpent came to Eve in the garden and he deceived her. Adam and Eve fell, and well, the rest is history. But if you have your Bible, you might turn over to Genesis chapter 3, and we'll just look a little closer at the story. There's this one verse here I want us to focus on, Genesis chapter 3, and in verse 6, it says this, "So when the woman saw," when did this happen? "When she saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." She saw that it was good for food and pleasant to the eyes, and she was deceived. She just had to have some, and nothing has ever been the same since. In a sense, it was what she saw that played a part in her deception and changed human history. You know, you can't always tell by looking. She looked and she saw that it was good for food and pleasant to the eyes, but it certainly didn't turn out good, did it? The world says, "Well, I'll believe it when I see it." And I'm telling you the truth when I say this morning that you can't always tell by looking, that a lot of the time what you see will deceive you. Eve saw it and she had to have it. That's why women should not be allowed to window shop. And then there's poor Adam. Guys, we all know that you have to eat what the wife fixes, right? And we don't know what Eve said to Adam, but we know that she said something to him, because when the Lord cursed Adam for his disobedience, the Lord said to him, because you listened, because you heeded the voice of the woman. Well, that's another sermon, another time. I'm going to move on. But anyway, Adam and Eve had a great marriage, though. I mean, not only because Adam ate what she fixed and he listened to what she said, but also Adam didn't ever have to hear those stories about all the guys that she could have married. And listen, Eve didn't have to hear about how his mother cooked, right? So they had a little bit of an advantage in having a great marriage. But I want you to remember this. The first sin happened when she saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. And how often sin starts with just a look. So many people started drinking, maybe started using drugs or some other foolish activity because they saw somebody else do it and it looked like they were having a good time. I mean, beer commercials are forever trying to make it look like that if you drink our product, you're going to have a good time. And they put that image before you. And so many started down a path at some point in their life towards trouble and destruction. And it started with just what everybody says is a harmless look. But it can change the direction and outcome of your life. You know, when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels led Lot and his family out safely. But when they led them out, they told them to not look back, to keep going until they got to the mountains. Most of you know the story, though. Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Tell her that a look doesn't hurt. Now, I want to tell you, I don't think that she just accidentally looked back. I think she probably looked back longing, missing the life that they left behind. Maybe she missed her friends. Maybe she missed their wealth and possessions they had there. Or maybe she just missed the lifestyle and the culture. But when she looked back, there was something in her heart that wanted to go back to where they were. Even though God had miraculously delivered them, she looked back. You know, you see this repeated many times in the scripture. The children of Israel are in the wilderness. God has delivered them from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. Can you imagine how much they would disdain Egypt and not ever want to go back there? And yet, when things got tough, they wanted to go back. You know what happened to them? They all died in the wilderness. Only Joshua and Caleb and a new generation went into the promised land. They wanted to go back, and they missed what God had for them. There are a lot of believers today who look back. They're still looking to the things of the world, still looking, wondering, you know, am I missing something? Still, in one way or another, they want to have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. And I'm telling you, they never really enter in to all that God has for them. They miss so many of the blessings of God and what God wanted to do in their life. When you make Jesus your king, you never look back. In fact, Jesus says it very plainly in Luke 9:62. He said, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom." You got to make up your mind that Jesus is truly king and you're never going to look back. That's what he said about it. It's not popular preaching, is it? But it's what Jesus said. You make up your mind that you're truly going to serve the Lord and you never look back. You don't look to the world. You don't look to the wisdom of man. You don't look to other people. No, you keep going forward with Jesus. By the way, it's kind of interesting. You know, Lot's wife would have never been in Sodom if Lot first hadn't have looked at that land. The story goes like this. Abram and Lot's men began to quarrel and to fight among themselves, and so Lot and Abram decided that they should part company. And Abram, being the, well, the great man of God he was, he says, "Lot, you can choose. You go one way and I'll go the other. You can have your choice." And this is what the Bible tells us about Lot's choice. It's Genesis 13, 10 and 11. "And Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan." You know, he thought that it was the best. It looked like the best. It looked like the garden of the Lord. And he chose what he thought looked best. Now, I want to tell you that a lot of people have made that mistake when it comes to the opposite sex. They just choose what looks good. They looked at the situation, and they said, "That's what I want." And I got to tell you that Lot's tragic story started here when he made his decision just by what he saw with the natural eye. By the way, on the other side of this story, here's Abram. And he lets his nephew Lot choose. We're always so concerned about being taken advantage of or somebody getting the best of us. And we always want to get the best deal, even at somebody else's expense. You know what? It all turned out great for Abram. Not so well for Lot. We look at things in the natural. We just see with the natural eye. Oh, how prone we are to make mistakes and to find ourselves headed the wrong direction. But for Lot, it all started with a look. How many times have people gone shopping and said, "Oh, it doesn't hurt to look"? Have you ever done that? And the next thing you know, you have a huge debt. You spent money you shouldn't have or maybe didn't have. Or you brought home a puppy. You know, some foolish decision was made, and now you got to live with it. And it all started with, "Well, I'm just going to look." It's hard to look at puppies and not bring one home. Most of you know how the children of Israel marched around that great walled city of Jericho. And the Lord did a miracle and brought the walls down. And they went in and had a great victory. But the Lord warned them and he told them to not take any of the riches and of the stuff, of the spoils of war. It was all to be consecrated to the Lord. They weren't to touch any of it. And yet one man named Achan did. They reached the next city. It should have been an easy victory, and instead lives were lost. Joshua begins to pray, and when it's all said and done, Achan was found out. And when the truth came out, this is what he said. He said, "I saw a beautiful robe. I saw 200 shekels of silver. I saw a wedge of gold, and I coveted them and took them." The end of the story is that Achan and his family were stoned, and then the children of Israel had a great victory over the city of Ai. Do you know, thou shalt not covet is one of the big ten. Now, most of us would quickly say, oh, I don't covet. That's one of those big Bible words, you know, that we don't use that kind of terminology anymore. But let me tell you the modern vernacular for covet. I gotta have it. And whether we say it out of our mouth or it's just that attitude of the heart, I gotta have it, is covetousness. And so often, covetousness starts with a look. Oh, a look can be very powerful to change your course. Decisions are made so often by just a look. You see an ad, you see something in the store, something the neighbors have, and all of a sudden, you are making purchases and doing things that weren't part of God's plan for your life. You know, women especially can be very visual about purchasing clothes. But it works like this. Most of the time, if a guy is going to go shop for shoes, he goes to the store and gets a pair of shoes and goes home. Women, on the other hand, may not even need any shoes, but they walk by the shoe department and all of a sudden they bought three pairs of shoes. Now, ladies, don't get too upset with me here. I'm going to talk about the guys too, because I understand for most guys it's not clothes, it's toys. I told Carmen just the other day, I said, I can't believe that you let me go to Home Depot by myself. Because I always come back with more than what I went to get. Some guys should have to be supervised when they go look at TVs. Some guys need to be supervised if they're going to look at motorcycles or cars. I've heard stories about guys showing up at the house with a new car. The wife is like, what? Had to have it. They just were going to look, but something happened. And I'm telling you, a look can cost you. Most of us are familiar with David's sin with Bathsheba, King David, great man of God. It always puzzles me how that this man who was so intimate with the Lord, and in fact, the Lord called him the man after my own heart, and yet David committed this horrible sin where he had an affair with another man's wife, and then he had the husband killed to cover up his sin. And how did this happen? Well, we know that when it happened, David did not go out to war as the kings did with their men. That on this event, he had stayed home. So he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But I want you to see exactly how it happened. It's in 2 Samuel 11. We're going to read 2 through 4. Wrong place at the wrong time. But how did it happen? Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. I'm just telling you, you got to be very careful where you look. You know, there's no indication that David had turned his heart away from the Lord and he was looking to have an affair. How did it happen? He goes up on the roof and he happens to see a woman bathing. Now, the Bible doesn't really tell us a whole lot about that, but I can assure you of this, that when David saw this beautiful woman, he didn't look away. And I'm just telling you that in the culture and the time that we live in, you need to look away. There are times you need to know this. The world will say, oh, it doesn't hurt to look. A look can start you down a path where you don't want to go. And for David, that path that started with just a look brought so much heartache and trouble in his life. Just a look. In the time we live in, it's not only what you might see out in the real world, as it were, but oh, how you need to be careful on the internet. Whether you are looking for something wrong intentionally or not, you may see something, and I'm just telling you, you need to look away. You need to click away. So many have an addiction to pornography that started with an innocent or maybe even accidental look. A look can be very powerful in turning the direction of your life. Don't be caught off guard by the lie that a look doesn't hurt anything. So many people have an addiction to pornography that started with a look. So many people, like David, have committed adultery, and it started with just a look. You know, Job must have done something right. I read this in the scriptures, Job 1:8, the Lord says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Now, if other people say that about you, that's pretty good. But when the Lord says that about you, that's awesome. He says, there's nobody else like my servant Job. He is blameless and upright, shuns evil, fears the Lord. He must have done something right. Later in the book, in Job 31:1, Job says, "I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl." He had made up his mind that he would not look lustfully at a girl. People say, "Oh, it doesn't hurt to look. Looking doesn't mean anything." That's not what Jesus said. As Jesus said, if you look upon a woman to lust for her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. A look does mean something. But the power of a look is that it has the potential to start you in a new direction. The power of a look is that it has the potential to start you in a new direction. And oh, how true that is when we look to Jesus. When we look to Jesus, it changes everything. You know, so often in this world, we just look at things with the natural eye. And as I said, how quickly and easily we can be deceived. In fact, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is destruction. Have you ever gone the wrong way on purpose? You knew you were going the wrong way and you did it anyway? Well, that's called stupid, but you know what? A lot of the time, well-meaning, sincere people, they think they're doing the right thing. They think they're making the right choice, but because they're just looking with the natural eye, there's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in destruction. And you see, when we look to Jesus, we're not looking with the natural eye. We're looking with eyes of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." How do you look at things that are not seen? With eyes of faith. You have to see with the eyes of your heart, as it were. Eyes of faith. We look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How do you look at Jesus? With eyes of faith. You know, the children of Israel in the wilderness, they complained, they murmured, they rebelled, they disobeyed God, and the Lord sent serpents among them to bite them, and many of them died. But then he made a way out. He told Moses to craft a golden serpent and to hold it up. And the children of Israel had to look at that golden serpent in order to be healed. And oh, the irony of it, that they despised these serpents who were biting and killing them, and now they have to look at this golden serpent in order to be healed. It was a matter of trust and obedience. Now, this story is talked about in the New Testament. In fact, how many of you know John 3:16? A couple of you. That's good. Here's two verses right before it. Most people never read these verses, but it's amazing. It's talking about that very story, John 3:14-15, and it says this: just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. You see, they had to look at that golden serpent. We have to look at Jesus. You notice he said the Son of Man. You see, Jesus was a man. You know, there's a lot of people in this world today who will say, well, I don't see what the big deal is about Jesus. I mean, he was a good man, but he wasn't only the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. But he was despised and rejected. The Bible says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And Jesus hung on a tree and was crucified for us. And we look to this crucified Savior to save us. It takes faith and trust. But as we look to Him, as we put our faith and trust in Him, we are saved. Looking to Jesus will change your eternity. Looking to Jesus will change your heart. Looking to Jesus will change your perspective, your outlook on life. Looking to Jesus will change your very life. A lot of people look to other things or look to other people. You know, God didn't tell the Israelites to look at Moses. He didn't tell the Israelites to look at the pole. He told them to look at the serpent. And I'm telling you that we have to look to Jesus. We can't just look to religion. We can't even look to the church itself. You can't look at other people. No, our focus has to be on Jesus. Some people put their focus on what mama said. Some people put their focus on what brother so-and-so said. Some people look to Mary. Some people want to look to their own moral goodness or sincerity. They got to look to Jesus. To fix your attention, your focus on Him. To put your faith and trust in Him and Him alone. John 14:16, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There is no one else. There is no other way. You have to look to Jesus. He's the only way. He's the only way to have a relationship with God. 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom having not seen. Oh no, we haven't seen Him with the natural eye, only with eyes of faith. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. No, we're not looking for Jesus with the natural eyes, but we look for Him with the eyes of our heart. We fix our attention, we fix our faith upon Him and Him alone. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. And as you're turning there, listen, we begin this life by looking to Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. And that's how we continue to live this life, looking to Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it's talking about those heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want you to notice in verse 1 there that there is a race for each and every one of us. Another translation says, marked out for you. You see, you can't run somebody else's race. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. There are no accidents. And it is not his plan for any of us that we're just here holding the fort until Jesus comes back. I'm telling you that God has a plan and purpose for each and every person. A race, as he calls it here, that we have to run. And he warns us and he tells us that there are things that will try to hinder us. There are sins that will try to ensnare us. There are many, many distractions in this world. But the key to running this race is to look to Jesus. There are so many things that will try to pull you away from God, pull you away, listen, from the call of God, from the plan of God, from how God would use you. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus. The NIV says, fix your eyes on Jesus. We're not talking about a casual glance. We're not talking about a one-time thing. We're talking about that with the eyes of faith, you are staying focused on Jesus, eyes fixed on Jesus. This is how you live this life. This is how you run this race, always looking to Jesus. Because when you get your eyes on anything else, I'm telling you, it will head you in the wrong direction. When you get your eyes on other people, they will always disappoint you and let you down, not because they're all bad, because they're human. And so many people are not really serving the Lord today, not involved in ministry, not doing what God wants them to do. And you know what the most popular reason given is? Because what other people did to me. People didn't call me. And people can't uncall me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People didn't call you, and people can't uncall you. Get your eyes on Jesus. Oh, don't misunderstand me. Oh, we love people, and we want to help people. That's what this is all about. But you got to have your eyes always on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. That's how you can keep going. That's how you can run this race with endurance. That's how you can overcome, is because your eyes are fixed on Jesus. So many get focused on the things of this world, their career, their success, a thousand other things, and many times they're good things, but they will head you in the wrong direction if your focus is not on Jesus. Jesus is the only one who's truly worthy of your trust as you look to him, the one who endured the cross for the joy set before him. I'm telling you, whatever your problems you may face, you need to look to Jesus. See, we all have problems. Some may be bigger than others, but we all have battles and situations that may seem impossible. But I'm telling you, when you're looking to the one who holds it all in the palm of his hand, they don't seem so big. See, when a loved one is sick, you're looking to the one who healed them all. When you have a material need, you're looking to the one who fed 5,000 with a sack lunch. When you hurt inside and your heart is broken, you're looking to the one who said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. You see, whatever's going on in your life, you need to keep looking to Jesus. All stressed out and feeling the pressure of this life, look to the Prince of Peace. I'm just telling you that if you'll keep your eyes, if you'll fix your eyes on Jesus, he'll get you through strong in faith and in victory. The author, the finisher of your faith. Fix your eyes on Jesus. What power there is when we fix our eyes on Jesus. He gives us the strength that we need. We can't do it on our own. Philippians 4:13, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, we get ourselves in trouble when we get our eyes off of Jesus. I will always say that the Apostle Peter was pretty awesome sometimes. And one of the awesome things that he did was he walked on water. He and Jesus are still the only two that there's any recording of that. But as he walked on the water, he got his eyes on the wind and the waves. He started looking at the circumstances and he began to sink. Jesus saved him and he said, why did you doubt? And I'm telling you, so often we begin to look at the situation and the circumstances and doubt enters in. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. In fact, I wonder for Peter what would have happened if he would have just stayed focused on Jesus. I mean, when you're walking on water, listen, wind and waves don't stop you from walking on water. Gravity does. You know what I'm saying? What difference does that make? But when he saw the circumstances, then all of a sudden, he began to doubt and he began to sink. And you know what? In this world, there are always going to be adverse circumstances. You are always going to have trouble in this world. But keep your eyes on Jesus and you can keep your faith strong and you can see God move and work in and through your life. Have you fixed your eyes on Jesus? Keep your eyes on him. Keep your attention, your focus on him. And as a follower of Jesus, we always look to him as our example. You see, if we're looking to Jesus, it will change the way we treat other people. If we're looking to Jesus, well, it will change the way we look at other people. In this world, it's human nature, I guess it's sinful human nature, that we are so prone to be judgmental of others. We see other people who are struggling, who are in a bad situation, who maybe have made wrong choices and messed up their life, and we judge them and we just say, well, it's their own fault. They got what they deserved. They need to fix their life. They need to get out of that mess. They need to, and we can stand in judgment of people and sound quite pharisaical sometimes. But I don't ever see that in the Lord Jesus. And if we watch Jesus, we will learn to look at people the way that he did. In fact, I want to read this to you from Matthew 9:36. It says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And I'm telling you that there are so many people in this world, they don't have a clue. I mean, they might know about business and success. They might be smart about certain things. They might have a lot of degrees. But when it comes to life, they don't really have a clue. They are like sheep with no shepherd. They don't know the Lord. And Jesus was moved with compassion for them. And I'm telling you, when we look at the people in this world, instead of being judgmental, oh, how we need to look at them and be moved with compassion. Just as our Lord is. But with just a look, I'm telling you that Jesus can change your heart. He can change the way you look at others. With just a look, he can give you a vision, a call, a purpose, a burden. John 4 and 35, he says to the disciples, don't say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest. He says, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They are already white. They're ready. He wasn't talking about wheat fields. He's talking about people. And here is a biblical worldview. People need the Lord. And don't say they're not ready. Jesus said, the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. I believe that God can change the direction, the course of your life by giving you a burden, a call to see a need. I know that many of you have people like Ken and Becky here on the front row. People like Tommy Grover. Many of the rest of you. God has put a burden on your heart. You care about children. You care about the young people. God is using you in some way. But I'm just telling you. You see, when we lift up our eyes and look at the fields, it'll change you. It'll change you. One last verse of scripture I want us to look at this morning is John, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. There is coming a day when we will see him in all his glory. And I'm telling you, it's going to change everything. 1 John 3 and 2, it says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, there is something phenomenal that's going to happen when we see him face to face. Paul says, now we see dimly as through a glass. But then we're going to see clearly. Then we're going to know even as we are known. And he says, John tells us, then we're going to be like him. Well, that's when we can finally say, I've arrived. We're going to be like him. Just to see him in all his glory, it changes forever. But I want to tell you, if you'll get your eyes on Jesus, he can change your life. He can change your heart. He can certainly change your situation. Oh, but he can change your passion. He can change your direction, your course. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. And I would like for our prayer partners to come. And just before we pray, listen, with just a look to Jesus, you can start a new life. With a look to Jesus, you can find healing. With a look to Jesus, you can find freedom. With a look to Jesus, you can find meaning and purpose. With a look to Jesus, you can find faith and strength. Father, I just thank you that you have made a way for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that every heart would be drawn to him. I pray that each and every one that's here today would truly look to Jesus as Savior and Lord. And I pray, Father, that we would fix our eyes on him and pursue and live in all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.